Now, fifthly, fifth kind of Tibetan monk, there's what they call the Lama Gyupa. The Lama Gyupa means, literally, the lineal Lama. The Lama in the lineage. The Lama in the tradition. That is to say, the guru-disciple tradition of the Tantra. And the Lama Gyupa means one who is proficient in both the theory and the practice of the Tantras. The Geshe's course, the Doctor of Buddhist Divinity's course, this is concerned with the Hinayana and the Mahayana. Vinaya is a Hinayana subject. Abhidharma is a Hinayana subject. Perfection of wisdom, this is a Mahayana subject. Madhyamika, again, Mahayana. Logic, a mixture of Hinayana and Mahayana. So in the course of the Geshe's course of studies, you cover only the Hinayana and the Mahayana. But it's only after that, according to the Gelugpa system or Gelugpa tradition, only after passing out as a Geshe, having mastered more or less the Hinayana and Mahayana traditions, it's only then that you go on to take up the full tantric course. And this system or this tradition is very strictly observed by the Gelugpas. The Gelugpas say that only after studying the Hinayana and the Mahayana thoroughly should one embark upon the study and the practice of the tantras. The other schools, that is to say the Nyingma Pas, the Kagyupas, the Sakyupas, they are not, in a way, so strict. They tend to allow people to go directly to the tantras or to go to it with a minimum of acquaintance with the Hinayana and Mahayana, whereas the Gelugpas, following Tsongkhapa's teachings, insist on a rather thorough acquaintance with the Hinayana and the Mahayana first before you go on to practice the tantras or the Vajrayana. The three great monasteries of Lhasa, or around Lhasa, that is to say Ganden, Depung and Sera, these were, or are perhaps, meant for the Geshe's course. There's no study of the tantras there. They're strictly for the Hinayana and the Mahayana. For the study of the tantras, both theoretical and practical, there are or there were in or near Lhasa two colleges, as we would call them. And you could join these tantric colleges only after passing out from Ganden or Depung or Sera, having taken your Geshe's degree. And I'm told, I have been told, that in these tantric colleges, the discipline is extremely strict. The big monasteries in Ganden, Depung, Sera, for instance, you may have your individual room, your own cell, as it were, your own property, but not in the tantric colleges. There, you sleep in a hall, just sort of side by side, with one sort of common blanket over two or three people, usually quite thin or even threadbare. You have to get up very, very early in the morning, and you follow a very, very strict routine indeed of study and meditation, a discussion and practice of all kinds. And I have been told by a number of people who have been through or partly through this course that one's health sometimes breaks down. The system is so strict and so severe. I remember especially Dandu Rinpoche telling me that he joined the tantric college, or one of the tantric colleges, after passing out as a geshe from Sera, the biggest of the three monastic universities, as we may call them, and he was only able to remain in the tantric college for a year, because owing to the rigorous discipline and the austerities practiced there, his health broke down almost completely after a year. And this does quite often happen. From all that I've been able to gather, I have the impression that the discipline in the tantric colleges is very similar to that of the best Zen monasteries in Japan. One might even also say that there's a very definite affinity at the highest level between Zen on the one hand and the Vajrayana on the other, especially with the, or between Zen and the Mahamudra and Ati Yoga practices of Tibetan Buddhism. Both the Mahamudra and the Atta Yoga stress, as Zen does at its highest, the direct approach to the realization of truth. But we've no time to go into that now. The Lama Gyupas, those who have gone through the tantric course at one of these tantric colleges, or who are in process of going through it after passing as geishes, these are very highly honored, not only by the lay people, but by the other monks as well. I remember many years ago when Tibetan refugees started flowing out of Tibet, especially from about 1959 after the Lhasa uprising. I remember that when many monks were coming in as refugees, Dandu Rinpoche, whom I've mentioned already, was very, very much concerned about all this, quite naturally. And I was seeing him quite often, quite frequently, during this whole period. I noticed that he was concerned about one thing more than another. He was concerned, of course, in a general way about everything, about everybody, about all the refugees, whether monks or lay people. But I noticed that he was particularly concerned about the fate of the Lama Gyupas. And I once asked him about this. Why is it that you're particularly concerned about the Lama Gyupas? So he said, the reason is that the geishes, they have studied what can be found in books. So the books are available. Even if the geishes don't survive, even if there are no more geishes, the books are still there. You can read them, you can study them. But he said the Lama Gyupas had transmitted to them the oral teachings and the oral traditions. They have spiritual experience as a result of this. And this is much more easily lost. If they are not rescued, if they are not helped, if they are not enabled to pass it on, to pass these oral traditions on to other people, then they may be lost forever, because they are not written down anywhere. So therefore he was particularly concerned that arrangements, special arrangements, should be made for the Lama Gyupas. And you'll be happy to learn that a number of the refugee Lama Gyupas are now accommodated at Dalhousie in the Punjab in northwestern India. Some of you may remember that in the course of our slides we showed groups of Tibetan lamas who were studying English, and these were Lama Gyupas in Dalhousie. And you might have noticed that they were nearly all very elderly men indeed, and the reason of course for that is that they joined the tantric colleges. They become Lama Gyupas only after having completed their course of study of Hinayana and Mahayana and passed as geishes at one or another of the great monastic universities. The ordinary monks and the ordinary geishas, by the way, are accommodated at Paksar in the Duat. There's nearly 1,000 of them there. And at Dalhousie there are perhaps about 200 of the Lama Gyupas of both colleges. That's all that survives. So much then for the Lama Gyupas. Sixthly and lastly, we come to the Kenpo. This is the sixth type of Tibetan Buddhist monk. Kenpo means, it's usually translated as abbot. And the Tibetan Kenpo corresponds to the Indian Upadhyaya, or preceptor, the one who gives precepts, the one who gives ordination, in other words. And the Kenpo is the head of the monastery. Now, if the monastery has a rather complex organization with a number of constituent colleges, as happens, say, at Depunga and Sera, then each college has its own abbot. And then over them all, there's a sort of grand abbot, an assistant grand abbot, and so on. But Kenpo means abbot, generally speaking. And the abbot, or the head of the monastery, or head of one of its constituent units, is appointed always by the Dalai Lama from among the geishes and Lama Gyupas on the recommendation of the monastery council. So you can see it's a fairly democratic system. There's a sort of governing body for each monastery, and when a Kenpo and an abbot dies, from among the existing geishes and Lama Gyupas who are members of the monastery, or maybe who are members of other monasteries, then the governing body of the council selects someone to be the Kenpo or abbot, and the Dalai Lama confirms this. And very, very rarely does the Dalai Lama ever refuse to confirm anybody who is recommended by the monastic or the monastery council. So he has the power to do this and does, in fact, sometimes occasionally do so. Now the abbot, the head of the monastery, the kenpo, has under him lay administrators who are responsible for various public works, as we would say, the upkeep of the monastery and so on, and various purely monastic functionaries, those in charge of discipline and ceremonies and so on. And if the monastery is large, then the number of administrators and monastic functionaries is quite large also. There's no need to go into all this. So these are the six chief grades, if you like, of Tibetan monk. Let me just briefly recapitulate them so that you can remember them if you want to. First of all, the genye, who is the probationer in the monastery. Secondly, there is the gitsul, who is the novice monk. Thirdly, the geilong, who is the fully ordained monk. Fourthly, the geshe, who is the learned monk, the pandita, or if you like, the doctor of Buddhist divinity. And then fifthly, there's the Lama Gyupa, the one versed in the theory and practice of the tantras. And sixthly and lastly, there's the kenpo, or the abbot.